Welcome to Focus on the Community, a weekly program that focuses on issues and events in our community.
And welcome to another weekend edition of Focus on Community. I'm Frank Rush, being joined today by Mark Sheodovich. Okay. And give us your official title with Clay County Schools. You're basically in charge of like the budget, the money, and all that kind of thing, but that falls as what?
Correct. Director of Business Affairs.
And you've been here for a while now, right?
Right. This is my fifth year.
Oh, we haven't been here that long then. Five years, that's not so bad. So you basically take care of watching over the money for the whole corporation and all that kind of stuff, which is what? Two high schools and how many middle and elementary schools?
10 total buildings.
Yeah.
7 elementaries and 2 high schools and a North Clay Middle School. And we also have Cumberland Academy, which is our alternative high school.
Right. The state this year kind of changed how finances work for schools. Has that been a problem for you guys? I mean, I know it's caused a little bit of a rejiggering of things,
right?
You know, how they all
right.
come together, but has it really caused any problems?
Well, I'll tell you what, ask me again in about 3 months and I'll have a better answer for you. All that kicks in January of 2019, but we've been preparing over the last 6 to 8 months with a new accounting structure where we will go down from 5 tax supported funds down to just 2, one education fund supported by the state and then one operations fund supported with local tax dollars. And going away will be our capital projects, transportation, and bus replacement funds. Those will all funnel into our operations fund from now on. So it'll allow us a little bit more flexibility on how we spend money. But from an outside perspective, should be pretty seamless. You won't know the difference. It's myself and some of our internal accounting people that will bear the brunt of the change. And like I said, it will kick in January. And if you have me back in here next year, I might have a different answer.
From the outside looking in, it looks like it would make things more simple.
Correct. And that's what the state, in a rare occurrence, is trying to simplify something. And I think
believe me, it was totally by accident.
Yeah, right, exactly. But I think they've done a good job. You know, again, we'll see in January, February, March, how it all sort of rolls out. The budgeting process this past summer and into the fall for me was a little bit different with the different funds. But I think we got it right. And, you know, once 2019 hits, we'll roll it out and see where we go.
As far as the school corporation goes, we were talking before we came on the air. Clay County Schools are looking a little bit better because you guys don't have a lot of debt. You're getting rid of some of that. I mean, you've done quite a few improvements on buildings over the past several years.
Right. And over the last 18 months, we've significantly reduced our debt. And in conjunction with that, and most of that debt was wrapped up in elementary renovation projects. In conjunction with that, though, however, we've taken on about $33 million worth of debt. As a set of debt rolled off, we rolled this new set on, and we're completely renovating our two high schools, and we did a little bit of polishing up at North Clay Middle School as well. Use the analogy of, you live in your home for 30 years, which is about the age of both buildings. At some point, you're going to redo the kitchen, maybe redo the bath, and that's kind of what both buildings needed, both high schools. So we took care of those needs, added some significant amount of space as well, student activity centers in both buildings, new band additions in both buildings. We added some classrooms at Northview High School to accommodate those needs a little bit better. And we feel like, you walk in those buildings now, you're walking into a 2018 high school, 2018 building, as opposed to one that was built in 1987 or 85 or whatever that year might have been. So we're in a fortunate position to be able to do that without really taking on any new debt. So as I said, as all the older debt rolled off, we replaced it with this new debt. Taxpayers see a seamless transition, no increase to the tax levy for the taxpayers of the county. Really, we were able to just maintain sort of a status quo in that regard. And we feel like when we're done and we're significantly finished at Clay City, I think the last trailers will be rolling out this month, and then we'll be finishing up at Northview sometime February, March. When all said and done and the dust settles, we're going to have two of the finest high schools in the state of Indiana.
And you've managed to do that while the kids are still there. I mean, granted, you've got your summer downtime, but still a lot of this stuff has been going on while school's open in session. And, and that's not easy to do.
No, I'll give a lot of credit to our construction manager, Garmong. And really our building level administrators and teachers, they're the ones that bore the brunt of sort of the transitions and a lot of changing of schedules. And we've had some teachers living on carts for a couple of years, going from classroom to classroom.
That's always fun, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's not easy. And the students have been great. And like I said, the faculty and the administrative staffs in both buildings have been, you know, fantastic. And, you know, being able to do that, like you said, when classes are going on, takes a tremendous amount of logistics and planning and scheduling. And, you know, we feel like the people inside our buildings pulled it off pretty seamlessly. We're very proud of that.
What kind of improvements have you actually made in the buildings? Because there's a lot of push nowadays and a lot of talk about how we've kind of gotten away from, I don't know if it's necessarily vocational education, you know, they're actually teaching kids how to do stuff.
Yeah.
And that's kind of gone on. I mean, I remember now, granted, it was a while ago. I remember when I went to school, there was still auto shop. There right. was still welding shop. Mm-hmm. You know, we had print class nowadays. Mm-hmm. We just press a button and it comes out of a printer. But yeah. still, yeah. we had those things back then. They've mm-hmm. all gone away.
Yeah.
So what have we done here in Clay County to kind of maybe try to bring back some educational programs that teach kids how to do stuff?
Right. We still do offer, we have an auto shop. And we actually have a welding shop as well. In fact, we're making some improvements in both those areas as part of this renovation. Those are both part of the final phase of the renovations at Northview. We also have an outstanding building trades program.
Right, because they've been around for a while building right, houses over right. here. And it's
cranking
great.
Out houses and, yeah. and neighborhoods. And they've been a very successful program for our students in that regard. But as part of the renovation project, we a big part of the additional space was additional classrooms for math and for our math unit, mm-hmm. our math wing. And then, like I said, the band at both places, significant amount of space increase and really updating of technology in those areas. But curriculum wise, I mean, I feel like we still have a partnership with, Vigo County Schools in offering some of the business the building trades and the like you say the hands-on technology type mm-hmm. stuff, shifting a little bit more from sort of the hammer and nails but more into computer-aided design and computer-aided technology. Really, that's been kind of the focus over the last few years, and we'll continue to do that going forward.
Now it's time for you to look outdoors, and, yeah. and it might also help the bands too. When you're looking at the football field at Northview,
we are,
and that's a big project that's going to be a lot of money, yep. and you're still trying to figure out just which direction you're going to go in. So it's what between good old mowable grass
right.
or carpet,
right? Yes, and we use the term carpet loosely. I think. When we first started discussing a synthetic surface on Northview's football field, the vision for most people around here, because it's not very prevalent in the area, is that thin, something you lay out on your front porch.
It's that stuff that your grandparents put on there and they glued down on their front right. porch. It's that plastic stuff.
Correct.
That hurts if you walk on it barefoot.
Correct.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you think 1985 Houston Astrodome, that's what they were playing on. It was a yeah. concrete base with a thin layer of carpet on top of that. Technology has significantly changed since then. So when we started to entertain the thought of putting on a synthetic surface, we knew more than anything it was going to be an education process. For the community. Okay, what does this mean in terms of not only financially, but safety and durability and longevity?
Things are a lot better now than they were back then.
Significantly.
As yes. far as that goes. And cost-wise, mm-hmm. I've seen a couple of your presentations.
Right.
Really, they're surprisingly, I know I was like, really?
Yeah.
They're about even.
Right. What we did is we looked at a couple different things. Redoing our football field as well as our soccer field at Northview High School. Both were, again, just like the buildings, 30 years old and needed some repair. The crown on both fields is sort of worn off. Again, if you have a natural surface, you have to have some sort of crown to, mm-hmm. to allow for it to drain. The drainage underneath, we believe, is crumbling and cracking and sort of in a state of failure. We have no irrigation system on either one of those. And all that leads to you know, not an optimal playing surface from a safety standpoint. If it gets a little bit too hard, you're looking at, you know, the potential for, the concussions and those sort of things that sort of go along with a harder playing surface. And we weren't in that state by any means yet,
yeah.
but we wanted to avoid getting there. And I think a redo of both fields, what was going to need to take place. And that meant stripping off the entire surface, redoing the internal or the underground drainage, putting in irrigation systems on both fields, and to do that properly, and then going forward to maintain it properly so that our athletes and our band and our PE students all have the best surface to play on. It was going to cost us more than we pay right now. I mean, yeah. We do maintain, but we don't maintain it to a level that we think that we need to have that world-class playing surface on a natural surface.
Yeah, the carpet you don't have to mow.
Correct.
But it still has its own special set of maintenance problems to deal with.
They do, but it's very, 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 very few. So if you look at the two surfaces side by side, you're going to have a bigger initial outlay on the synthetic surface. You know, the projections we've gotten from some consultants was anywhere from $700,000 to $950,000 to lay the surface down and install it. But then the maintenance on that going forward is about $2,000 per year, which really,
not bad.
No, not at all. Again, you don't mow it. If we do end up putting it down and somebody sees somebody on the mower out there, just run out and tackle them at that point in time, because we don't want to mow that. But
and you don't have to vacuum it either.
Right, just don't have to vacuum it. Really, yeah. the only maintenance that the surface needs is the infill, this little sand and a rubber-based infill needs to be fluffed a little bit every now and then. And then on a semi-annual basis, it needs to be sprayed with a disinfectant.
So what's the decision-making process?
So the process,
because you've actually told a lot of people a lot of different presentations and several different times what it is and the comparisons of the two. We just had an election. You've got a few new school board members coming on, some old ones going away. But when do you finally make a decision and say we're going to do this or we're going to do that?
On the agenda for our November board meeting, there will be a vote as to whether we move forward with a synthetic surface. And, you know, I don't know how that's going to turn out. I'm going to go whichever direction the board directs me to go. But I think, you know, the data that we've presented as it relates to both financial and really a lot of people like to get locked up in what's it going to cost me initially. And they get a little bit of sticker shock from that number on the synthetic surface. But the data that I feel like I've presented that maybe will again, it kind of sort of educate the public is how much more you can use this surface. The surface can be used really 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Now, I don't recommend anybody going out there in an ice storm. But, you know, we're talking about now a football field that if we take care of it and maintain it and we put in this new surface, that we're only going to allow games and a handful of practices and, you know, maybe 20 to 30 years uses per year. You go to a synthetic surface, now you're talking about using it for PE classes, obviously football, unlimited football use, unlimited band use. We're going to put the soccer lines on there. So now we don't need a soccer game field anymore. We're going to put soccer lines on it.
And this is something, too, that's becoming more and more prevalent around the state.
Right.
Not just in the richer school districts, but in school districts across the state, it's becoming more common.
And I'm glad you kind of phrased it that way. 15 years ago, this seemed to be an elite community sort of, I don't want to.
If you had money, this is what you had.
Right. This is a toy
for those common folk.
Right. This was a toy for elite communities, or so they believed. But over the course of time, you know, now into current state, I truly believe this is one of practicality now. I sort of did a very unscientific scan through all the high schools in the state of Indiana. I did some pulling up on of their websites and did some overviews of their field. I would estimate that somewhere between 100 and 120 schooled high schools in the state of Indiana now have a synthetic surface in play. And it's really come down to that usability factor. They're looking at this as, again, this is not a luxury item anymore. This is one of practicality that we can use and use and use and use, not only for our schools, but community use and just a sort of a focal point for the community. And because of that, you know, you're seeing now, you're probably seeing 25 to 30 districts across the state that have put in their second turf. They put it in back in 2003, 4, 5. You get 10 to 12 years worth of usage out of it, and you put it in again, and you get 10 to 12 years of usage out of that. And, you know, what was also brought up in the presentation is those schools that put it in 05 and now putting in again in 18, the synthetic surface that they're putting down in 18 is significantly farther advanced, safer, more durable than the surface that was put down in 2005. So again, it just comes down to, sure, cost is always a factor. You know, that's for me to figure out if we go that route. But really, to just look at cost would be an error in judgment in my part, or in my opinion. You got to look at it, how much we can actually use this specific surface.
Well, we need to see how this all works out. Yeah. And since it's about the only one here in our immediate area, right. If you do this, this mm-hmm. will be something everybody else is going to be watching too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that'll be kind of interesting to keep an eye on.
Right. And we did have two schools in our football conference, Cascade, just put it in and hadn't played on it this year. And then down in Edgewood, they actually, they went a little nuts down there and they put in a red football playing surface. So
no, let's not do that.
Not in the plans. If we, like I said, if we go that route, we'll go ahead and go with the traditional green and some school colors.
Mark, it's Shayotovic.
Yeah.
So I'm getting there eventually. Business manager for Clay Community Schools, correct?
Correct.
You're the number counter. Thanks for being with us today. Appreciate it. We'll look forward to seeing how this all works out with the football field and with everything else that's going on too. Appreciate it.
You bet.
Thanks for coming in. Yep. All right. Stick around. We will see you again next weekend here on Focus on Community.
You've been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program that focuses on issues and events in our community. To be considered as a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by calling 812-420-2518. Be sure and tune in again next week at this time as we focus on the community.